Earlier this week, I met Mira at Cambridge's Museum of Technology to explore the engineering of an iconic bit of coal-fired power, the steam engine.
This week, Dave and I are aboard a Foden steam wagon chugging around the Museum of Technology here in Cambridge. Now, it is a scaled-down model of a wagon, and this site is the old sewage pumping station in Cambridge. Now, Dave, why have you brought me here?
Well, steam engines, historically, are one of the most important pieces of technology. They took us from an economy which is entirely based on animals and stuff you grow off the ground to basically the modern world. And even today, they produce over 70% of the energy which we use in this country.
And well, joining us this week aboard the wagon, or in fact driving it, is the main engine driver here at the Museum of Technology, David Gates. Now, David, how exactly, I guess, are we moving along? So how does a steam engine work?
Well, you take your fuel source, in this case it's coal, which is burnt and heats the water to create steam, which then operates the pistons to create the motion to move the engine.
Because water is going from a liquid to a gas, it expands hugely. At about 100 degrees C, it's sort of 1500 times, if you're at higher temperatures, even more. And that huge expansion can be used to drive a mechanism. So from a physicist's point of view, you're just causing water to boil, you're getting a large amount of expansion, then you somehow connect that to the wheels. But the actual engineering practicalities of that are a lot more complicated.
Yeah, I imagine there are many steps involved, David.
There are indeed, yes. And in fact, we have a model here which shows those various steps.
So we've come inside to the model now, and in fact this represents a Headley steam engine, which is located here just behind us. It's a cross-section, so we can see what's really going on inside. There is a cylinder towards the back of the steam engine then, into which the steam enters. So there's a tube coming out and a valve on top. So what's really happening here to control the movement of steam into this?
Well, your valve on top allows the steam to go into one end of the cylinder, which will then push the piston inside until it gets to the end, when the valve on top will change direction. This will allow steam to go into the other end of the cylinder and push the piston in the opposite direction.
So there's more pressure on the side of the piston where the steam's coming in than on the other side. So that means overall force on the piston, which pushes it along. And then the piston is attached by a series of linkages to the wheel, which is actually doing the work.
OK, well, we can actually turn this model on then to see the piston movement in action.
The piston is then attached to a long rod, which is then connected to a crank, allowing it to turn a wheel. This wheel must then be somehow attached back to the valve, so as it can be opening and closing at the right time.
Yes, there is known as an eccentric, which is basically a cam off-centre, which changes the direction of the valve.
It's all a very smooth motion, and the wheel is just continuously turning here.
That's correct, yes. You have to have rather a large flywheel in a simple engine like this one just to create the motion required, keep up the momentum.
I guess the other problem you've got, you can get steam into the cylinder, but where does it go once it's in there?
With this particular engine, when the steam comes out of the cylinder, it just passes to atmosphere and complete waste. Later engines use the steam more than once.
So we've now entered a very large room with two extremely impressive engines here. So these are the main sewage pumping engines here on the site. And I mean, just firstly, from the cylinder down to where the flywheel is, it's about 11 metres in length, this engine, and the flywheel itself is about 7 foot high. It's very grand, David.
These engines were built in 1894 by Hathorn Davy of Leeds, and they have two cylinders on these.
This is where the whole fact that steam is being used twice really comes in.
Yes, when steam leaves the small high-pressure cylinder, there's a lot of useful energy in it, so it's used a second time in the low-pressure cylinder.
And so because the steam has already expanded maybe by a factor of two or three in the small cylinder, it's going to be a lot bigger, so it's going to take a lot more space, so you need a bigger cylinder to let it expand again a second time and get some more useful work out of it.
What's the benefit of letting it expand again?
Well, essentially, you've still got steam under quite a lot of pressure coming out of the first cylinder because you can't let it expand all the way to atmospheric pressure. The cylinder would be immense and it'd be very expensive to build the engine. And so you can use a second cylinder to let that expand again and get more of the energy out of it, which means you get more work for the same amount of fuel.
So these two processes of expansion are all still basically working, though, to push the piston, David?
That's right, yes. You have a piston in each cylinder, but they're connected to the same rod, which operates the pumps.
And, well, another way to get even more energy out of the steam, I guess, is to use a condenser, which this engine also uses.
That's right. When the steam leaves the low-pressure cylinder, there's still a lot of useful energy there. So it's passed into a condenser where the steam is then turned into water to be used for feeding the boiler, but also it creates a vacuum. So it's actually sucking the piston along as well as it being pushed, so we get more efficiency.
So again, you're getting more pressure difference across the piston, so you're getting more work. So the whole thing, again, you get more energy for free, essentially.
And what about the amount of, say, energy being consumed, so perhaps the amount of coal being burned and so on?
Well, with the way we operate these engines at present, we will burn round about 3/4 of a tonne of coke per day.
So that's equivalent to hundreds of litres of petrol you're burning just to run an 80-horsepower engine for maybe 3 hours in the day. So the efficiencies are nothing like even a modern car.
Steam engines, really, one of the reasons they went out of use was low efficiency.
They really did change industry a great deal, though. So we've seen it in motion, say, for a wagon. It's used here for pumping in the sewage plant. As they developed, they had more and more applications.
Oh, indeed, yes. It really was the steam engine that turned the world round. With the spinning mills as well, we could create virtually anything you wanted.
And in fact, even today, most of the electricity you use at home is generated using steam engines. Not reciprocating engines like this, but a steam turbine. They basically work by blowing steam past a load of vanes, essentially very specifically designed windmills. They spin incredibly fast, and you get a huge power density from your steam engine, allowing coal power stations, nuclear power stations, oil power stations, all to produce lots of steam, generate electricity from it, which you use every time you turn on a light switch.
So essentially, although people think steam is old technology, it still powers the modern world that we live in.
That was David Gates, the main engine driver at the Cambridge Museum of Technology.